This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's continue our conversation on design and inclusion. Halloween is around the corner, and there's a lot of ways you can make the holiday more inclusive. There's also a lot of ways you can make the trick-or-treating accessible, the experience more accessible. Marco Pasqua is an accessibility consultant, and he joins us now to discuss this further. Hey, good morning, Marco.
Good morning, Dave. I'm feeling ready for Halloween. I got my orange plaid on, so I'm feeling also very Canadian.
That's how you know the Halloween season is around the corner, the orange plaid. That's how we know we're getting ready to make things happen. Hey, Marco, before we jump into the accessibility side of Halloween and trick-or-treating, I want to discuss the inclusion elements, because so often we know that inclusive mindsets can start as a trickle before they become a stream. How do you think that dietary concerns and allergies perhaps started a shift towards more inclusive Halloweens?
Yeah, well, I think that honestly, Halloween is no longer about just the candy industry anymore. You have to think inclusively from the aspect of, you know, people are having anaphylactic reactions to things like peanut butter. They don't necessarily want as much sugar in their diet. And I think that as we're making that shift, it's more about creating inclusive communities where everybody can come out and get involved than it is about getting loaded up and on as much candy and horror movies as you can possibly think of, because there's a lot of factors there. You know, there's a lot of anxiety issues, and I think Halloween is becoming more about, Canadians and people across the world, you know, really coming together and actually experiencing something as a community.
So there are a number of practical solutions and suggestions in place to make trick-or-treating more accessible. Before we jump into them, what do the numbers look like in regard to children who are excluded from Halloween for accessibility reasons?
Yeah, so Halloween may not be accessible to as many as 300,000 Canadians with a disability, as they may not be able to climb stairs, navigate challenging pathways, or handle certain decorative things like strobe lights and things of that nature. So I'm thinking of these things. I'm thinking about back when I was a kid, you know, as a wheelchair user, trying to navigate my community, trying to show off my amazing costumes, but I would always be several steps back from my sister without a disability, because she was able to climb up the five stairs to get to someone's front entrance. And there I was, you know, sitting in the cold, not to play a small violin for myself, but, you know, sitting out there wanting to show off what it was that I had as a costume. And I wasn't able to do that as inclusively because I wasn't able to get as close to the home.
And this is where the Rick Hansen Foundation School Program comes into the story. What's the overall goal of that program?
Well, that program is amazing. It's really about ensuring that children and youth are able to know more about accessibility from an inclusive way. So we teach about disability, compelling presentations from RHF ambassadors with disabilities that can talk about their lived experiences and also teach leadership through the Difference Maker Awards that the Rick Hansen Foundation puts on. So it's kind of like this combination of amazing things through education and really teaching it from the get-go, from when children are right there at a young age.
What do you think the long-term impact is of offering that kind of perspective from a young age?
Yeah, I think by participating in Rick Hansen programs like this from an early age, it's really giving presentations, lessons to children that accessibility and inclusion can be done and achieved in a tangible way, a real way that is practical, where they see themselves interacting with kids on the playground every single day. And of course, that's then extrapolated on how can we do that now within our communities as well.
Let's discuss some of the practicalities, because you mentioned that word practical. Now, we spoke to the folks from Treat Accessibly a few years back on the show and absolutely loved some of their ideas, but it's been a while since we spoke to them. So what are some of the things that we can do right now in preparation for this weekend to ensure that Halloween will be accessible?
Yeah, I mean, I love some of these ideas. I wanted to make sure I got a lot of them here. So getting creative adaptable.
Marco, yeah. Take your time with this. I know there's a lot, so take as much time as you want.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So I love this idea of creating creative adaptable costumes, right? Imagine turning a wheelchair into an amazing, cool tank if you're an army person, right? Or, you know, a race car. I know that for myself, my brand new daughter, Stella, is 7 months old. We want to be able to, maybe next year when she's a little bit older and she can appreciate it, we want to have my wheelchair be like a Mario Kart and she can be like Princess Peach or Baby Princess Peach. You know, like, how cool would it be for people in the community to then see that? A father with a disability out there with his daughter and really actually making it about the family. How about focusing on the fun and not the fear? You know, there's a lot of kids with anxiety issues out there. So if we focus on the fun instead of the fear, I think there's a lot more ways that they'll want to come out into the community. For people who live in homes with steps, just move your trick-or-treating station to the driveway or, you know, to the end of the driveway or, you know, to the garage or something of that nature. Put up Treat Accessibly signs, because the Treat Accessibly folks at their website, treataccessibly.com, you can go and you can download a sign for free that indicates that your home is accessible for all. You can have a well-lit walkway for your home so that people who are blind or have low vision are able to see their way up to your steps if you do have them. And then, of course, consider passing on things like strobe lights and things of that nature, because it can obviously be overstimulating for some people. It can be anxiety inducing. And then the last thing that you can do is, of course, book a Rick Hansen Foundation ambassador at rickhansen.com. We have a Halloween themed based presentation this year that really focuses on those types of activities around Halloween, where kids can come together and do things in a more inclusive way. So there's, I mean, a ton of things, as you can tell.
Marco, we always talk about perspective and the things that we learn on this journey together to become more inclusive. And even as I became more engaged in the disability community, especially over the course of the last 10 or 15 years, I never once in my life thought about the pure simplicity of just saying, move the trick-or-treating station to the driveway to include people with wheelchairs. It seems like such a simple idea, but it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and you know what? I can't take the credit for that. Rich Padulo and the Padulo family out of Toronto, they started this movement back in 2017 because there was one child in Rich's community in a wheelchair, and he had an aha moment. He saw that that young man wasn't able to come to the door, much like what I explained with my sister, and he said, why aren't we doing things a little bit differently? And he owned his own marketing company, so he thought to himself, I'm just going to print a sign that says our home is accessible for all people, and I'm just going to move the station from the top of my stairs to my garage. And now Rich has taken that from 2017 to one home to, in 2020, he said 40,000 homes across Canada. Amazing. And the US.
Amazing.
And this year he's hoping for 100,000 homes participating. So, you know, that family, I tip my hat to them. I know his daughter Sienna actually received a Difference Maker Award this year for all the incredible work that she's doing as a young lady in her community to really show that she practices what she preaches, and she wants to create a Halloween that's special for everybody. So, I mean, it's awesome, man. It touches my heart. I wish I had an initiative like this when I was a kid.
It's like the definition of starting with a trickle, becoming a stream. And as mentioned, we spoke to Treat Accessibly a couple of years ago on the show. We're actually going to be talking to them on Thursday as well in advance of Halloween. So nice to get this primer with you today, Marco. But Marco, nobody gets to talk about Halloween on the show unless they answer this question before they leave. What's your candy / chocolate of choice?
Well, I have to be honest with you. So my wife is Swiss, so I'd be remiss if I didn't say anything from Lindt or anything of high quality. But if I'm going to go old school and just think back to my days of just loving that candy in either an Aero bar or Aero bubbles, or I'm a peanut butter guy, so I do love a Reese's peanut butter cup from time to time. So those will be just fine if I had them.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of high-end chocolate talk on the show. We appreciate that one coming out of Switzerland. In fact, one of my oldest friends, his last name is Munz, M-U-N-Z.
Nice.
And for years, his family back home owned a Swiss chocolate plant. Smaller brand.
What?
Now they eventually sold that to a conglomerate, but every now and then you can still find Munz chocolate from time to time in high-end grocery stores.
Well, if you and your friend ever want to take a jaunt over and have some high quality chocolate, just give me a call. I'm sure we can get a private copter or something to take us down there. We'll make it happen, Dave. I'm ready for it.
I like this. This is good kind of planning. That's the ultimate trick-or-treating in a private helicopter. Hey, Marco, thanks for this, man. Have a great day. Enjoy Halloween.
You too.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.